Give agus Falchuk a Gian Clore coming Luke Lasgill a shock in a show with me, Tom Comick, as always, with you on a Wednesday night here until 9 o'clock. And well, we're delighted you have you with us again tonight. And well, tonight I'm joined by John Lynch of Tyrone and Martin Carney of Mayo and Donegal to review last weekend's All Ireland semi finals, the meetings of Kerry and Tyrone and Dublin and Mayo, of course, in the two semi finals. So the die is cast. It's going to be Dublin chasing 5 in a row and looking pretty good for it, has to be said, against Kerry in an All-Ireland traditional final, I suppose, on September the 1st. As I said, I'm joined by John Lynch and Martin Carney on the programme tonight. But before we go to John and to Martin, just to remind you, of course, you can text us on 086 60 25,000. Or if you want to text us from outside the dialing area or from the north of Ireland or indeed further afield, it's 00353 86 60 25,000. I'll give you those numbers again. 086 60 25,000 or 00353 86 60 25,000. And of course, as always, you can listen to us on the World Wide Web, and a podcast of the programme will go up on the world on the web tomorrow as well. And you can also listen back on the Highland Radio app. But as we know, as we mentioned, Kerry defeated Tyrone on Sunday in the second of the All-Ireland semi-finals, 118 to 18 points. That's how it ended. Tyrone did pretty well in the first half and actually led by 4 points at half-time, but Kerry turned it around of the second half, and Steve O'Brien got a goal 15 minutes from the end of normal time that proved the decisive score, really. John Lynch, I suppose, a disappointing result. Has the disappointment still lingering around Tyrone?
Tom, it was disappointing, I suppose. You know, we seemed to start the match well and I think looked good at half time, albeit it was only 4 points of a margin. But at the end of the day, I suppose, when it all ended up, it was a disappointing result, Tom, to be fair. Like, you know, expectations were that we could have beat Kerry, and unfortunately it didn't happen first.
What went wrong? You know, as you said, so far ahead at half-time, much the better side in the first half, it has to be said.
I think we have to look at it, Tom. Maybe if you take a, take a look at the Kerry side of it, for instance, the fact that they played, they played a sweeper, Tom, and it didn't seem to work for them. Kind of played into our bar a wee bit, that left a lot of room for a lot more room for like for our full forward line to be to find areas of popping the ball in, which worked well for us. McShane got on a lot of ball, Tom, and fairness, he played well. And they obviously, Tom, at half time would have looked at that and knew themselves they had to change it. That's the disappointing thing for me, that the Kerry went in at half time knowing that they had to do something, and we went in at half time, Tom, probably thinking, everything's going well here, but unfortunately, Tom, that's not the way football works. You have to be prepared to adapt and change. And, I remember thinking at halftime myself when I seen Kerry going in that they're going to come out on a different team or something's going to change here. And I'm sure Mickey must have thought the same, but unfortunately, we didn't really adapt to the change, Tom, and that's where it happened. Like, a couple of men that came on for them, Walsh, and when Walsh came on, he you could just see, Tom, he had the grit in his teeth, and he was wanting to prove a point. And he did, Tom. He went in there and he got stuck in and made a lot of things happen for Kerry. Give him a lot of room, and they got a lot of scores. A lot of scores came off him, so it was a big change for them. A good change from a management point of view, Tom.
Yeah. Nevertheless, though, with 50 minutes to go, as I said, the sides were still level. Kerry had clawed that deficit back. Tyrone were very much in it, and probably, we're coming back into the game, I thought, and the big turning point. Was the Kerry goal.
The goal, Tom, was a turning point, but I suppose, look, I have to be said too, like, again, I'm not making excuses, but the refs seemed to give them a lot of what I would call handy frees, especially in the first half, Tom, that kept them in it, and they got a couple as well. There's a couple of very strange decisions that sort of kept Kerry sort of in the game for good parts of it, Tom, that we maybe had a chance to go on and maybe put 3, 4, 5 or whatever it was against them again. And I just felt there was a couple of decisions that went against us. There was a couple of things that he'd done. They changed. He blew up. Matty McLean or Matty Donnelly one time off the ball and stuff, like us in possession, and just strange things like that, Tom. Where it just sort of broke us down a wee bit, and we didn't get taken advantage of it. And I just felt them things hampered us a bit as well, Tom. But look, there are no excuses there. Look, bottom line is Kerry, with the class they had up front, we're going to get scores, and they got the scores, Tom. As you say, the goal came at a certain stage where it just turned it around, Tom, and they just seemed to move on from there and you know, proved to be the better team in the latter stages there.
Yeah, as I mentioned, Martin Carney is on the line as well from Mayo, and we're going to talk to Martin about Dublin and Mayo and as well. But Martin, as a neutral looking at Tyrone and Kerry on Sunday, what did you make of it? Or,
well, I thought Tyrone, you know, John says, like, Tyrone had that game in the bag at half time, like leading 9-5. Dominating the trends of the game, and I just thought in the second half, I mean, they were authors of their own downfall in many respects. Like, when you consider, like, Cathal McShane, who I thought was outstanding for them and probably my man of the match, he missed two good opportunities nonetheless in the second half, and I thought he set up Peter Hart for a very good goal opportunity that was spurned. Now, if you take that possible goal in 2 points, kind of spurned, and add to that then the Kerry goal. The Kerry goal came as a consequence of Stephen O'Brien intercepting a Tyrone move back in his own full back line. Now, he tracked that run from he gave the pass all the way up to Tyrone goals where he put the ball in the net. But it was a Tyrone turnover that ultimately gifted Kerry that goal. And, like, when Tyrone looked back on that, you know, when they see to a degree that they were authors of their own misfortune, it'll kind of add to the regrets, because there's no doubt about it in my mind. They had that game kind of there for the taking at halftime. But when you look at the second half and the scoreline, something like, I think it was 113-9 points for Kerry. So ultimately they won. Admittedly, they probably have, you know, a very good forward line. The likes of Clifford, you know, Sean O'Shea, Stephen O'Brien, Paul Ganey, all very, very good players. But I think also the introduction of Tommy Walsh for Foley, you know, around the 50th minute or so, that was pivotal in actually determining the outcome of the game.
And I thought, watching it from a Tyrone point of view, that Cathal McShane was winning the ball so easy, and there was so much space in front of him.
That's
that,
right.
That Tyrone should have manufactured a goal or something. Or there was certainly at times I felt he went for points when maybe there was other options, or should have been other options. And I think, in fairness to him as well, and Matty Donnelly, there was a lack of support for those chances.
Well, you see, the lack of support often, I think, comes as a consequence of the type of game you try to play. And if you're going to play a game where your emphasis is on ultra-defensive kind of formations, then you're going to be short in numbers when you counter-attack more often than not. And I saw the previous day with Mayo playing Dublin, that particular complaint you could level at Mayo, that they never had sufficient players up front because they kept too many men back. And I thought the same, you know, with Cathal McShane at times. When the ball got through to him, there wasn't any support there really to take it off him. And, like, you know, on the day, I thought that Kerry full back line were there for the taking. And, you know, I thought Foley was at full back. I thought was very, very vulnerable. Now, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think they took him off, actually. Tommy Walsh came on for him, and they made a few judicious substitutions, I think, to shore things up. And I think also Jack Sherwood coming in at half-time, he made a big difference to the defence. But there's no doubt about it, in the first half, they were particularly vulnerable, had maybe Tyrone placed a little bit more emphasis on getting players forward.
Yeah. So one you feel that maybe Tyrone left behind them?
I thought Tyrone left it behind them. There's no, in my mind, it did. Now, admittedly, Kerry have a very good forward line, and maybe they were always going to have a purple patch in the game, but there's no doubt about it, like, with the two missed chances that McShane had in the second half, plus maybe the ball that he set up for Peter Hart to put into the net, Peter didn't probably attack it with sufficient, I suppose, conviction to put it in. But they were great opportunities spurned, as far as I'm concerned.
John, no great consolation in that, but one that Martin Carney feels you left behind you. Peter Hart, loss of form, was it? Or did he get very close attention on Sunday?
He did, Tom. He got a lot of, like, even if you look at the incident that Tom or that Martin talking about, the penalty incident, you can see where your man was actually holding on to his, Peter went with his right hand, your man was actually holding on to his left. So that's the kind of attention he's getting. Look, again, Tom, there's no point in us complaining about that. I wouldn't complain about it. Look, then, bottom line is, Donegal people have to suffer the fact that Michael Murphy is faced with this every day. He plays football. And, you know, when you marquee forward, like, Peter Hart has been one of our better forwards all year, and he looked, Tom, he got close attention, but the bottom line is that, you know, he has to get above that and perform. And I remember talking about the game prior to it, and people were asking me about how we thought we might do, and I always figured that Tyrone partly, in my opinion, could have won the game had of the likes of Peter Hart and Matty Donnelly played up to their standards for an hour, Tom. And that's unfortunately, it didn't happen for Peter at all. And Matty had a great first half. Kind of went out of the wee bit. Martin's on about a couple of frees that, or a couple of shots that was missed by the full forward. Matty also missed one or two at that stage as well. So you're chatting about 3 or 4 points actually at that stage that were missed. So Matty kind of didn't have as good a second half as he did in the first half. Again, Tom, that's down to Kerry as well with their defensive setup and how they marked them. So that's the unfortunate side, that when you're relying on the players, like when you're relying on your marquee players and they're not coming to the fore, then you're faced with problems. You expect other lads to come in and perform to you, and sometimes that doesn't happen for us, and unfortunately it didn't happen for us on Sunday, Tom.
And what's the reaction to the defeat all over the county, speaking to GA people, speaking to former players, reached the All-Ireland last year, ultimately failing to do so this year again would be seen as a failure?
Well, Tom, I suppose it's a varied opinion that, like, again, you meet up with lads and have a talk with lads, and There's a lot of different opinions about things, different opinions about Mickey and what he should be doing at this stage, whether he should be, hand it on to somebody else or whether he should stay. And I suppose a lot of people feel, Tom, that last year was a good year for Tyrone, because if you consider the fact that we got ourselves into another final, Tom, and on route to that, we were able to deal with, we went to Balbuffet and beat Donegal, which was a big scalp for us on that way, whereas this year, Tom, to be honest, and like no disrespect to the teams that Tyrone play this year, Tyrone haven't really beat many big teams, Tom, en route this year. Like, if you think, consider, the teams we beat Derry in the Championship, Donegal, then demoralised us in the next round, and then went on and played Antrim and Longford and Kildare, and we beat Cork and Roscommon in the playoffs or in the 8-0 Super 8. So, when you look at the teams we beat this year compared to the teams we beat last year, Donegal was a big one for us last year and we got to a final. So a lot of people are thinking that, this has not been, like a lot of people saying, great year, we got ourselves out of the Super 8 again. But a lot of people are now being inclined to agree, Tom, that, this wasn't a great year for us really, because, we haven't achieved what we had achieved last year with being able to deal with Donegal, for instance. And again, as I say, the teams that we beat this year, Tom, look, you have to face facts. You expected to beat them, so it wasn't. And we ended up, playing Kerry. Kerry is a team that you must be prepared to stand up and beat, Tom, if you want to, go on to win All-Irelands. And we failed again. So the criticism that's laid on Tyrone at the minute, Tom, is the fact that they're getting there, but they're not beating the big teams. They're not beating the Kerrys, the Mayos, the Dublins, and even now, in my opinion, the Donegal teams that's up there. In my opinion, it's in the top three or four, or whatever. So, the feeling in Tyrone, Tom, is that way. It's very, people are again expressing opinion of the fact that Mickey probably should step down, and then there's people that are with him and saying that he should stay there, But so it's very, Tommy, as I keep saying before, like people now in Tyrone have this expectation that they want to win all Ireland, and again, a lot of people think it was a failure this year, So
Sean,
varied opinion, Tom.
Sean Cavanagh not spearing the rod on the Sunday game on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'll be disappointed with Sean, Tom, because at the end of the day, there's not very many managers or not many players would have a slap at his manager and that forum there. Like,
especially as he enjoyed so much success with him.
He did indeed, and like there's obviously some sort of a fallout there. But I'm I'm saddened and surprised that he's done this. It's not something that a player, we're amateur people, In this game, and we give our best, and if there's a fallout, normally the fallouts are sorted out, Tom, and it's unfortunate, and especially with Sean's brother still playing, Colin's still there, and I just feel that he should not have done that again. And Tom, it's not the first time he's done it again, and he's been criticised heavily this time by like the Muggsy there went out and called him out on it, and quite a few players have called him out in this time, but so he's his own man, and he wants to do what he wants to do, but he's not gaining many friends for it, Tom.
Yeah, I know, and obviously, loyalty is a big thing. But is Sean Cavanagh saying what a lot of people maybe are thinking and not wanting to say?
Again, Tom, I talked to another ex-player during the week, and we talked about it, and he felt that, look, Sean didn't really say that much. He just gave an opinion about where Tyrone are, and he kind of half agreed with him. He said, look, he felt that Mickey should just, you know, step down, give it to somebody else give them another go, give them a go. And so there's players, there is ex-players and people in Tyrone, Tom, that you know, feel what Sean said is right. People, you know, they're backing him on what he said. But I don't think in a public forum like that, Tom, he should not be standing up. He should not stand up and say what he said. Like, really, I didn't actually hear what he said, but I've read it and heard, you know, what he has said. But I don't think in that forum, Tom, especially, I don't think he should be criticising a man that has done so much for Tyrone football. Like, you know, no matter what people think of him, what he has achieved and what he's given to Tyrone football, Tom, I don't think he deserves.
Is there anybody out there? Okay, Fergal Logan has been mentioned, Peter Canavan has been mentioned, and Brian Doher, they were involved with that under 21 team. But are those men interested?
I'm not sure if they're interested, Tom. But listen, one thing that I've always said, and people, you know, when people say about Mickey standing down, people always return with a question: well, who's there to step in? And I always think, Tom, it's a bit of an insult to a lot of great coaches in Tyrone. Like, if you look throughout the past few years, the amount of county teams that have Tyrone involvement there, for instance, like with Matty McLean, been involved with Cavan, Ricey McMillan involved with Fermanagh, and it looks like he's probably going to step in and take over the full role there. And rumours has it that Joe McMahon's going in along with him. So that's an exclusive there, by the way, Tom.
Good, thank you. Keep them coming.
And there's loads and loads of coaches, in my opinion, Tom, that are quite capable of taking that team. So I would feel it's an insult to a lot of coaches in Tyrone for people to say that there's nobody there. But I still feel that if Mickey feels that he wants to give it another go, I'm not going to be the person to say, well, if Mickey's time you walked away. I think Mickey needs to make that decision himself. But there's definitely, Tom, there is, like you say, you talked about the likes of three lads at 2021s. I'm not sure if Peter would be interested, you know, when you look at the role he has now in Sky, which is probably lucrative to him. So I'm sure he's not going to walk away from that. Whereas there's men involved, Tom, at club level. Even I'm involved with Damien Hagan, for instance, at Clarendon. With Clarendon, Tom, and I'm involved. A coach, I've never seen a man like him to motivate teams, and he covers everything. To me, he'd be an ideal man as well. Paddy Talley's in Dublin and Down, Tom. Again, another great pro man that's doing it elsewhere. There is loads of lads about, but the bottom line is too, Tom, sometimes it can be a poison chalice. The fact that again, people are saying that this Tyrone team have sort of achieved above what they should have achieved, and you know, you can walk in there and God knows what might happen, you know. So it's a lot of people would be to and fro of what there's, you know, what it's going to be about. But the bottom line is, Tom, if Mickey decides that he wants to stay another year, he'll be there, because there'll be nobody there to put him out of it, you know.
Yeah, because obviously of his record, people are going to leave it up to him.
Oh, aye, well, I think that's, I suppose at the end of the day, you have to respect him for that, Tom. Like, you know, there's, you know, from outside, people can say what they want, and they can say, look, you need to get rid of Mickey and stuff. But look, the bottom line is, Tom, he has achieved, even with this team over this past number of years, Tom. The people that point out the fact that there's no Stephen O'Neill's, there's no Peter Canavan's, there's no Sean Cavanagh's, there's none of them players of that ability in that team. And he's been, you know, he's got his another final last year. He took us through the Super 8 this year again. You have to look at it and admire what he has done, Tom. And, like, you know, even to go back to the league this year, we ended up, you know, starting with a bad start, and he got us together, and, you know, we're probably one of the best teams to finish the league. So what he's doing there, Tom, he's getting the boys motivated, and he's getting his systems up and running. And look, he has to be, you know, at the end of the day, what he's doing to them, he's getting the teams playing at a level, Tom, that's competing at a high level, and he's competing with the best of teams. Look, albeit we're not winning all Ireland's. So he has to be, you know, amended, you know, what's going on there. Like, I would say, look, fair play to him. He's doing his best with a team that people would be critical of. I wouldn't be critical of it at all. I think we still have a very, very strong defence. Midfield, we're good. Maybe we haven't got the marquee forward of the likes of Conor McManus or Michael Murphy. But at the end of the day, Tom, we're still there competing. And he's getting us, as I say, he's getting us to these final, you know, through the Super 8s. Obviously, we're disappointed to lose an Ireland semi-final, but we're still there, Tom. He's still getting us there. So,
And he has a big vacancy to fill now, Peter Donnelly. So he's going to, if he stays on, which he expect he is, because he still has the appetite for it. He is a big vacancy to fill, so he can shake up his backroom team, maybe.
Well, Tom, I know for a fact that, like, I work with Peter in Cloyland, and I know what he brings to the table, Tom. And if you talk to any of the Tyrone players or anybody that's ever worked under him, he's going to be a big, big loss. Like, the loss of Peter and the backroom staff would be as much a loss, for instance, as Mike's Cabinet there, that retired. He's up there, Tom, and he's a big, big figure. So if Mickey needs to go searching, have big time for somebody to replace him, because his knowledge is unreal, Tom, and you'll see the benefits that Ulster rugby will get whenever he comes around, because what he covers, Tom, is amazing. Like, and what he brings to the team and brings to the players, you know, they're going to be blessed with him, Tom, and that is a big, big man to fill, a big boost to fill, and definitely he'll have to surely come to the side for that.
Anyway, so much about Tyrone. Stay on the line, John, if you can, maybe. Okay, Martin Kearney, what's the feeling in the West after Saturday evening's defeat by Dublin?
Well, I suppose there's disappointment, naturally, Tom, but I think when you soberly reflect on it, Mayo went further than maybe a lot of people expected at the beginning of the season after the defeat to Roscommon. Like, okay, the National League win was a tremendous achievement for them, insofar as it was the first national title that the county has won, I think, since 2006. But the disappointment of the defeat to Roscommon, I think it took a while to rinse out of the system. And when they reflect on it, they were lucky enough in many respects to beat Down, but certainly they struggled to beat Armagh in the qualifiers. And, you know, they limped along, but the game that actually kind of gave them an awful lot of hope and restored a lot of self-belief was the win over Donegal. And basically they went into the game last Sunday against Dublin knowing they were up against a very formidable team, but at the same time, I suppose, believing that they could beat Dublin, given their history in recent times, you know, that they always ran them very, very closely. But, you know, an 8.6 lead at half-time probably, you know, increased the expectancy. But there is no doubt about it. Once Dublin cut loose in the opening 12 minutes of the second half, they certainly put any kind of thoughts of getting to an All-Ireland final well out of the minds of Mayo, and they fully deserve their win. And people down here are disappointed for the team that they haven't actually maybe got to an All-Ireland final and won one. But at the same time, they acknowledge the fact that Mayo on the day were beaten by an exceptionally good team.
And tell me, do you expect changes now, retirements?
Well, I think every player, like, after a championship season, you know, has to reflect on, you know, what has he contributed, and more importantly, what has he to contribute in the future. And a lot of these boys, like, I think David Clark is around since maybe 2001. Keith Higgins is around. Andy Moran's around, is certainly in the early noughties. You know, there's quite a number of players have had stellar careers with Mayo, have given a massive amount of time. And when you think about last weekend, was their 8th All-Ireland semi-final in 9 years. So that's just, you know, on the back of nearly the same group of players. So there will be a number of them will reflect on what they have to offer in the future. And if they haven't got something to offer in the future, they might offer their own retirements. I think James Horne has a job to do also in determining whether or not he wants to keep some of the experienced players, because there is no doubt about it, bringing new players into the panel, blooding them, getting them used to inter-county football, that's going to have to be a priority with him next year. Because, like, at the end of the day, he did a lot of great work this year in, you know, blooding the likes of Matty Ruan, blooding the likes of Tracy and Phil McDonough and those.
But there's and Young Carr.
And James Carr. And again, an extraordinary story, that lad, because that lad plays with the Junior B team down here at club level. And yet, when he got into Croke Park the last day, and when he has played in the Championship this year, he's got some remarkable scores. In fact, I would nearly go as far as saying, Tom, that the goal of the year will probably go to him for the goal that he got, the second goal that he got against Galway in the Championship.
And tell me, just overall, reflecting on the championship, reflecting on the Super 8s, what do you make of it?
The Super 8s is still a work in progress as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Tyrone and Dublin made a mockery of it in their last game. I don't blame Mickey Hart or Jim Gavin for doing it. Like, the pair of them had qualified for the you know, for the All-Ireland semi-finals. But if you're going to have a game like that, in inverted commas, you know, as part of the Super 8s, you know, it's simple as this. It's not going to add to what I would call the reputation of the competition. And as well as that, for Roscommon and Cork, their last game was, you know, of no consequence down in Páirc Ring. Now, I gather, in fairness to Anthony Cunningham, he put a huge onus on his players to be properly prepared for that. I gather they weren't allowed to the Galway races or anything like that. It was taken very seriously by them.
Well, they wanted to get a win in the Super 8s.
And they did, yeah. They had a very good season. Overall, they were Connacht champions. You know, Connacht champions. They got promotion to the First Division, and they got a win in the Super 8s. And like in those circumstances, like, they had a good season, but there is still something kind of not right with them as far as I'm concerned. Another factor that I have a huge issue with, actually, in the Super 8s, is I wouldn't have a game kind in Croke Park. Provincial towns, Tom, and we saw it from games being in provincial towns, benefit hugely from the business that comes to them on days like this, apart from anything else. And I would like to see all Super 8 games played in provincial towns, so as not alone kind of are maybe the likes of Dublin taken out of Dublin and out of Croke Park, but that the economies of these towns actually benefit from the staging of these matches.
And surely, John Lynch, as well, obviously there's a timing factor where teams have to be out six, seven days after playing their last Super 8 game in an All-Ireland semi-final. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely have to look at to review the latter stages, Tom. Like, Mayo had 6 days, and Dublin has a similar. It's just not on, Tom, at this stage. When you're focusing on probably one of the most important games of the year, the All-Ireland semi-final, and you played a game, you know, 5-6 days previous, that's not the way it should be done, Tom. And the GAA need to look at that and fix that. And I agree with a lot of what Martin's saying as well about taking the matches out of Croke Park and go to provincial towns, because, you know, I witnessed Dublin coming to OMA twice, and what it does to OMA and what it does to the reputation of the GAA, Tom, is just something else. So there's, you know, as Martin said, it's a work in progress. These games, Tom, these dead rubber games, they'll need to look at that and try and sort that out, because we can't be having, as Martin says, like, it was an insult to really to what was going on there, the way Tyrone had to set up against Dublin. And it wasn't either the manager's fault, but, you know, as I say, they both were qualified. So them things need to be all reviewed, Tom. Again, it's a 3-year review, so they'll probably look at it again now this year and tamper again a wee bit more with it.
John and Martin, before you go, in one word, Dublin or Kerry?
It has to be Dublin.
So, our jury go for Dublin. My thanks to John Lynch, my thanks to Martin Carney, my thanks to Paul McDevitt on sound here as well tonight. From me, Tom Comack, until next week, Slán agus Balak.